3 weeks down, 3 weeks of victories, three different formulas. It doesn't matter. It all adds up to 3-0. And this is episode 74 of the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on westbranchfootball.com.
Stephen Grace, just kind of, you're with us, Matt Chenander, Jason Miller. Stephen, I'm just going to let you take it off the cuff. You had a different look from above than we had on the sidelines. What'd you see on Friday night?
I saw two really good football teams going at it. West Branch taking advantage of some really good opportunities. Williamsburg utilizing some big plays and special teams to stem the tide every time it felt like West Branch was just going to pull away and make it an easy game. Special teams got them right back into it. But in the end, West Branch dug deep, did what they needed to do, and six-point win. It still goes in that W column. It was hard fought, and on paper, a lot of people were thinking that was one the Bears were going to lose. So we get out of there better than expected, and hopefully see some things, learn some things, build on some things, and get ready for the next opponent, which is Tipton in week four.
And Matt, I would call this, I mean, for me, this is one of the more weird, one of the more odd games I've ever watched in my years of watching West Branch football. Just how the ebb and the flow of the game was going along. If you were to look at numbers alone, you would have thought one team was ahead 45-0 at the end of three quarters when it was 312 yards of offense to 10. But that certainly was not the case.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, you said it, just kind of a bizarre type of game, just with really everything that went on in this game. Three big takeaways here, and two of them Stephen touched on briefly, but points off turnovers, special teams, and my last thing is Wyatt Goodale. Let me just start with points off turnovers. Throughout the game, there were two big Williamsburg fumbles, and the Bears scored touchdowns on each of them. And another turnover was a pick six by Trey Eagle, which obviously resulted in a touchdown. And all told throughout the game, West Branch scored 22 points, including point after touchdowns and two-point conversions that were a result of Williamsburg turnovers. And it could have been even worse. There were more room for turnovers, two potential interceptions in the first quarter that the Bears weren't able to reel in, and then one really late in the game in the fourth quarter when Williamsburg was inside the 10-yard line, just couldn't quite come up with it. So, special teams aside, it could have been a completely different game had West Branch capitalized on all of the turnover opportunities that they had. But, positively speaking, I mean, the ones that they did have, as I said, 22 points of their 39 came as a direct result of Williamsburg turnovers.
And a friend of mine once said, you want to win a football game at the high school level when it's close, you should probably look at special teams. Odd thing is Friday, had you looked at just special teams, well, the game might not have been as close. But, in the end, you've got to find a way to win. You got to find different ways to win. West Branch's offense played very well. West Branch's defense played very well. The special teams is probably going to get a gut check this week, and the coaches have already been discussing that, the players as well.
Yeah, and at least touching on special teams there, I do want to point out Cale Federlin through these first three games. Again, he was perfect on his point after touchdowns, 4-for-4, and he added in a 25-yard field goal for the first score of the game. So it's not all,
and a two-point conversion from 18 yards out last game, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all, land of opportunity there on special teams. Like, there are several things going well on the special team side ball. And I do want to specifically point out Cale Federlin and just the whole kicking team, holding, snapping, all that stuff, just excellent again for this third game. So props on the special team side, props to the kicking team there.
Steven, you have something to add?
I was going to say, on that same note, I mean, these are things that, one, give credit to Williamsburg. I mean, they were staying in that game because of the special teams. They made some good plays, and they've got some athletes that made really good plays off of it. And it's not necessarily a lack of effort type thing. It's just, okay, adjust a little bit here and there. I know that Coach Peterson, Coach Crosswaite, everybody's there saying, you know what, here's the deal. If you did this just a little bit different, things look a lot better on the result. And so it's fixable things. It's not just, oh my God, these guys don't know what they're doing. It's, okay, you did that just a little bit incorrectly. Let's clean it up. Let's do it a little bit better. And we're going to be a lot better off in the future.
I think Matt has more to impart, Stephen.
He's well, I said I had three takeaways.
He's a man of many words.
You're right. He had three takes. I think we only may have heard one of them.
We've talked about two. But,
well, let's hear the third one.
I do have a third, but I do kind of have a fourth one that I do want to touch on. So my third one, I know, third one, Wyatt Goodale. Friday night, he was Mr. Big Play. I'm calling him Mr. Big Play. just the four big plays that I'm talking about, a rush of 20 yards, a reception of 23, a reception of 34, and a reception of 33, all really getting the Bears. All of those plays, I believe, were getting the Bears across midfield into Williamsburg territory and really changing the complexion of all of the drives that those plays were on. So big props to Wyatt Goodale. He really, you know, he's really kind of a quiet guy, makes plays on defense, makes just these kind of splash plays on offense that they're not huge, go up and get it, you know, flashy type things. He gets the ball and he gets yards out of it. Big plays out of it. That's just what he does. So I'm glad to see him really kind of take a step forward there Friday night. And the last thing I want to talk about, defense. I mean, we've touched on it already, but just another game for this really stout defense. But I did want to specifically bring up Jack Robertson, who for most of the evening was matched up with Cade Wiegen. Really just did a wonderful job at sticking with him all night, right on his hip, and really limiting what Wiegen did throughout the game. This guy, what, he came in averaging, what did we talk about last week?
36.5 yards a catch, yeah.
Yeah. This game, he had 10.8 yards per catch. Four catches, only 43 yards, one touchdown, but that's all right. You can't stop him all that much. But yeah, and I think... Yeah, and he had a big punt return too. But outside of that, from his receiver position, I'm going to consider that shut down if you only hold him to 43 yards. So, yeah, big props to Jack Robertson and just the entire West Branch defense and also the defensive line. Again, just disruptive. Not necessarily flashy with a bunch of big sacks and that kind of thing, but they had a lot of tackles for loss, tipped passes, which just, I mean, changed the complexion of a lot of plays there Friday night. All right, that's all I had.
Steven, do you have anything else?
No, I think I'm good for now.
So final score, guys, 39-33. West Branch was victorious on the road against a Class 2A, number 10 ranked Williamsburg Raider team. So the schedule of the last 2 years for 2 years stays the same, and West Branch has defeated a ranked Williamsburg team in two consecutive seasons, and that's got to make you feel good, not just defeating a ranked team, but a 2A team in a program like Williamsburg. And Matt, how did it happen?
So as I mentioned earlier, Cale Federland started off the scoring for the night with a 25-yard field goal to put the Bears up 3-0. Gavin Hirschman, also in quarter one, connects with Tanner Lukowski for a 22-yard touchdown. I think that play was the one that Tanner, I mean, he probably caught the ball at the 10 and then dragged six defenders into the end zone. I think it was to go up 10-0. Second quarter, Trey Eagle picks six from about the 8-yard line, Williamsburg 8-yard line, to go up 17-0. At that point, you're kind of thinking, oh, boy, here we go.
That's when he said knockout punch.
Yes, yes.
Or the backbreaker.
Yeah, and then I purposely left that in the highlight reel because the very next play on the ensuing kickoff, 85-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to give the Raiders some life. Second quarter still, another Tanner Lukowski touchdown, this time on the run from 3 yards out. After a West Branch penalty on the ensuing PAT, the Bears actually decided to go for two. And Gavin Hirschman connects with Trey Eagle, lobbed it up there in the corner of the end zone from about 18, 19 yards out. And that was good, so 25-6. Still in the second quarter, again, Williamsburg kickoff return for a touchdown, 75 yards this time.
Both of those, by the way, by Austin Barnes. Real quick story on him, guys. He did not even play football the last 2 years. Decided to go out a senior year. And I had a chance to talk with that kid after the game as we kind of got to know each other a little during the golf season. And his words were, man, I'm sure glad I went out. I wouldn't have been able to experience what a great football game this was. So back to Matt, it's 25-13 after Barnes' second long kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yeah, and then we had stop me if you've heard this before, Hirschman to Eagle, corner of the end zone, this time 19 yards to put the Bears up 32-13, and that was the score at halftime. Stephen Grace, what were your impressions there after that first half, just kind of the wild ride?
Uber impressed with the defense, just because, I mean, you know that with some of the athletes that Williamsburg had, the way that we were really shutting them down, and sitting there feeling pretty good, saying, okay, we're up 32-13 at the half, but, I mean, I remember somebody had said on the little chat feature on the Mixler app during the Bearcast, they're like, they've got one guy that's doing everything. We don't have anything to worry about. And I'm like, but this, I mean, we talked about it all week. It's a well-coached Williamsburg team. You knew that they weren't going to go away. So I was really hoping that we would come out strong getting the ball to start that second half. But, you know, as we saw and we'll soon hear from Matt, I mean, Williamsburg defense did make some adjustments and, you know, took some things away that we were able to do in that first half. And again, those special teams loomed large and gave them some more confidence. But, you know, the offense was doing a lot of great things. The defense was doing a lot of great things. It was just knowing how things were going to adjust in that second half and to see how things would play out.
Yeah, and the Raiders certainly did adjust in the third quarter, held West Branch scoreless, but scored two touchdowns of their own to bring the game within 5 points heading into the fourth quarter. however, there in the fourth quarter, when the Bears really needed a touchdown, I think it was their second to last drive, Gavin Hirschman to Trey Eagle, 54 yards down the Raider sideline into the end zone to go up 39-27.
And back to one of your points from earlier, Matt, who was it that kind of set the decoy that allowed Trey to get one-on-one down the field to allow Gavin to throw a beautiful ball? Wyatt Goodale setting up. Quinny brought it up, you know, almost looked like he was going to set up for that little bubble screen. Defense sucked in on him. That allowed Trey to go deep. Good protection. Gavin throws a beautiful ball. That was a great play call all around from the entire offense.
Yeah, Jason, I think when I got down to the sideline at that point, you'd brought over the iPad to me and showed me the replay of the play. And you're like, yeah, Gavin just looked at Trey the whole way. He knew what he had.
He knew what was there. I mean, it's a bubble. It's a bubble go. I mean, you know, you got a bubble on the outside your first look, but I don't even think Gavin at that point knew it because he knew the safety was going to be the only one that was going to be able to cover up on Trey. That safety moved over. Then the corner was too close, and there's no way that it was going to be tough for him unless he took a sprint back to catch a receiver like Eagles got some speed to keep up with him. And he just laid it out there. Trey ran under it like a little kid when they're blowing those balloon circle with the balloon circle or the bubble circle and trying to catch him as they're coming down. And it pretty much made it easy for him, and he walked into the end zone for 6 points.
Yeah. And then Williamsburg really doing everything they can to hang in there, managed to get in the end zone there late in the game on a 13-yard touchdown pass. And the PAT was missed. Kind of a little bit of an important PAT there. It would have brought the game within five. So, you know, if things had played out differently, Williamsburg could have scored a touchdown on a later possession to potentially pull ahead and not had to count on a PAT to tie it or go ahead at that point. Bears got the ball back, and on a fourth down punt, Williamsburg ran into Trey Eagle, and it was of the 15-yard variety to give the Bears a first down, and they were able to just kneel it from there to close it out to win 39-33.
Very fitting that it was another special teams play that
yes.
solidified things at the end.
Some of the players on the sideline were like, was that a special teams play? And it went well for us? they're having some fun with it in the moment, which is good to see.
Okay, Bear fans, you wanted some excitement. You got it. 72 points, 39-33 the final, and a West Branch victory. That makes three of them on the season, as I mentioned at the beginning of our episode.
If you need to spruce up your home, or if you are building something new, turn to Corridor Drywall to make the project look great. Locally owned and operated by Dan Buell, Corridor Drywall offers quality work at an affordable price. Call them for advice on your next drywall project at 319-354-9255. Corridor Drywall, proud supporters of the West Branch Bears.
Have you reviewed your insurance lately? Contact the Fulwiter Insurance Agency to set up a free insurance review of your policies. We offer personal, commercial, life, health, and crop insurance to protect all aspects of your life. As independent agents, we can work with multiple companies to find the best coverages at the most competitive prices. Visit fai-wai.com or call 643-2695 to speak to one of our agents. Supporting the West Branch Bears for over 50 years, the Fulwiter Agency, where your insurance is our assurance.
Where does that have the Bears sit as we look at the District 4? We're only 2 weeks from now, we'll have our first game to speak about actually in district play.
Yeah, well, we're still last.
We're still last, 0-0.
Well, I'll be darned.
I know.
We got to pick the pace up a little there.
In the non-district, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we are the only undefeated team. There are two teams that are winless, and I believe two teams that have two wins.
Yeah, and one of those being an upstart North Cedar team.
Yeah.
I think they're really driven. Two things, I'll tell you. The Doug Jackson Field looked fantastic last week. And when I saw a photo of it. Secondly.
Does it not always look that way, Jason?
Oh, it looked beyond fantastic. Now it's the. They, you know, Ohio State could not get it approved. The Doug Jackson Field has been approved to
change
their name.
The Little Rose Bowl North.
And secondly. What an upstart team! An upstart team, looking forward to hoping to get a chance to haul in and hoist up that Cedar County trophy. I tear up when I think about it, but I think you guys are right. 3-0, 2-1, 2-1, 1-2, 0-3, and 0-3 so far.
I think after next week, we're going to have part of this check-in is going to have to also be on the Cedar County trophy check-in because. There's a lot of activity here early. and one of those games.
What happened last week? Yeah, Durant beat Wilton early on. Both of those teams are part half schools with Cedar County kids. So Durant was one up there. Tipton beating Durant last week, 21-13.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, a rundown of District 4. Beckman defeated Clayton Ridge 48-0 to move to 2-1. They take on Anamosa, 2A team that's 0-3 next week. Cascade defeated Mack Valley 27-16. They are 1-2 on this season. They take on 2A Waukon, who is also 0-3 next week. Bellevue dropped their third game of the season thus far, losing to Monticello 21-13. They take on Clayton Ridge next week, who is 0-3 in Class A. As we mentioned, North Cedar defeated Comanche 21-7. They are 2-1 and take on Columbus, Class A, who is 1-3 next week. Northeast Goose Lake fell to 0-3 to Wapello, 28-24. They take on Alburnett, also Class A, also 0-3 next week. West Branch, as we've talked about, defeated Williamsburg 39-33. They improved to 3-0 and take on Tipton, who is 2A. Next week, who is 2-1.
Wow. EMS Detergent Services has been providing janitorial supplies to businesses across the Midwest for over 50 years. Based in North Liberty, Iowa, EMS uses products made right here in Iowa and offers exceptional and affordable service for their clients. Learn more at emsdetergentservices.com. EMS Detergent Services, proud supporter of the West Branch Bears. Hodge Construction is a leader in developing commercial and academic spaces, multifamily condos and townhomes,
and much, much more. Hot Construction began in Iowa City in 1981, focusing on residential construction. Through positive relationships and quality projects, Hodges continued to grow and expand its project diversity over the past 35 years. At Hodge, clients aren't customers, they are partners.
And I see here, Matt has graciously, on our Google Doc, the first 3 weeks and the scores of the Tipton games, who is the next opponent, which makes sense that he would do that since we're going to talk about him a little bit. But week one, that is where North Cedar's asterisk on the Cedar County Trophy comes. Tipton right now is your clubhouse leader for the Cedar County Trophy title. But if West Branch is not, if West Branch were to win next week, I think they have the upper hand. So week one, then I'm going to kick it over to Steven. Tipton so far through 3 weeks is 2-1, as Matt alluded to a little bit ago. That is West Branch's next opponent. Week one, they defeated North Cedar 34-0. Lost to Vinton Shelsburg. I'm not sure if they're 3A or 2A, but that's a pretty big school. But they lost to them 36-22. And last week, at home against Durant, Military Appreciation Night it was in Tipton. Final score, Tipton 21, Durant 13. Tipton 2-1, Stephen, is our next opponent. Always a great game. Always a, I would call it one of the, I would definitely call Tipton a rivalry, without question. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you're 15 minutes away, and, you know, these kids, especially now, I mean, when you, we were all kids, you know, back in our day, but, you know, you had some of this traveling around, but especially with social media and stuff, these kids interact in different ways. They've got, I mean, fall baseball leagues where you're playing with kids from other schools, so you know them a lot better. But, yeah, it's still just that intensity of being so close and always wanting to get the best of your Cedar County rivals. And so, yeah, I mean, these two teams, no love lost between them, respectfully. But, you know, it's a situation where they both want to come in and take care of business and look to get that win at the expense of the other one. So, it's a Tiger squad that they've got another new coach this year. They've got some pretty good athletes that have been playing for several years at the varsity level, and, you know, they're feeling good about themselves at that 2-1 record. And, you know, they'd love nothing more than to jumpstart their district play by knocking off West Branch and getting a big win, you know, this coming Friday.
Matt, what do you think? I mean, this is a team last year that a wonderful atmosphere in West Branch last year on Military Appreciation Night. And it was probably one of the bigger crowds I've seen in 20 to 30 years of football at West Branch over the last 20 years. Probably the biggest crowd I've seen. Wonderfully well attended. It was Coach Peterson's 300th victory that night as the Bears were in complete control of that football game. But it's a different year. It's a different team, and it's on the road. It's in Tipton. So what are you thinking here on the cusp of the game?
Yeah, on the road, you know, The Bears, we've played Tipton at the Little Rose Bowl for two seasons in a row now, back-to-back there. And so it's going to, I think, be, unless these players played there, you know, maybe in middle school or something like that, this could be unfamiliar territory to a few of these players, you know, specifically the underclassmen. So you've kind of got that going into it. You have a two-way Tipton squad who shares a district with West Liberty, Mount Vernon, and a team we're familiar with, West Burlington, and also Comanche. So they have a lot of good competition in their district. Now, necessarily this game doesn't speak a lot to or have a big determination in their standing within their district, but I think it's going to be something that they want to win as they head into district play. They want to get into that off the right foot, just with the somewhat tough schedule that they're going to have within their district. And it helps the RPI, too, whenever that does start getting calculated. So I think it's a pretty tense environment that West Branch is going to be walking into Friday night, just for all the reasons that I just said. So I think I really hope that the Bears have a really good, solid week of practice this week. You know, maybe take advantage of some of the special teams opportunities that they'll be presented with this week during practice and get that shored up heading into this game. Because, you know, I said Tipton wants to kind of exit or enter district playoff on the right foot. West Branch definitely wants to, too, especially with that, you know, big game in Bellevue looming after Tipton. So, yeah, I'm just I was a little nervous for Williamsburg, as we talked about last week, but I think there are a lot of kind of external things going on here with Tipton, especially with it being a rivalry that has me a little nervous for this one, too.
I'm going to backtrack real quick. I said West Branch scored 54 last year. They actually scored 56. It's 56-13, your final in 2018. Now, B.C. Moore likes to he keeps some historical records, Stephen. We being more of a historical type, and I had to say it, we're a little older than Matt, so we've seen a few more of the games in this rivalry than Matt has. Currently, if you were to look at that website and look at the all-time records, he says that West Branch has won the last 11 times these two teams have faced. I cannot, and unless Stephen, maybe you can help me out here. He has it from 91 to 2018. He doesn't have the 90 game, the 89 game, which I know West Branch won both. They won the 88 game in Randy Sexton's our first playoff year. They won the 87 game, the first game of the second game of the season. So I know it's at least 15 right now. Does that sound about right?
Could be. I mean, I think going back before that, I don't remember very many of them. But yeah, I think
West Branch didn't lose many times in the 80s. Since the 80s, they haven't lost very many times. We'll say that.
Yeah. I would agree with that, yeah.
I'm not calling it bulletin. That's not bulletin board fodder. It's just the way it is. But in that is that Tipton sees that. They're like, this is a game. This is a game on our calendar with a big star. Not just is it a game, hey, we would like to win it to help us with our RPI. We would be 3-1 with some momentum going into our district play, guys. But it's West Branch. It's an old rivalry from the Eastern Iowa Hawkeye Conference days. Old rivalry from Cedar County. As Matt alluded to earlier, it's 15 or 20 minutes of a drive. There's so many different variables that, again, Matt alluded to, that are boiling into this game, and they don't want to lose on their home field to anybody, let alone West Branch.
Yeah, and I mean, you can look at that history, and okay, that shows you some of the trends and whatnot, but I mean, Coach Hirschman was playing in a couple of those games you alluded to. He now has kids that are playing. I mean, things have changed tremendously in that time frame, and I mean, if you want to know the type of intensity that you're going to get, I mean, just think back, wasn't it 2 years ago that we played where West Branch was up by 3 or 4 touchdowns at halftime and Tipton took advantage of some things in the second half and made it a ball game? I mean, they didn't go away either. So, yeah, it doesn't matter what the score is at any point. I mean, this is going to be a hard-hitting football game. And, you know, from what I've seen on Tipton on film, you know, they're physical, they're aggressive, they're athletic, and you know, they're not going to back down to any sort of a challenge. You know, 15-game winning streak in a series or whatever it is, that doesn't matter. I mean, before the season, they were talking how, you know what, we want to be the team that turns the tide in Tipton. We want to be the team that not just makes the playoffs, we want to make a run in the playoffs. We want to do some things to really put Tipton football back on the map. And, you know, they've been there the last few years. You know, they've been to the playoffs several times in the last decade or so. You know, they want to get there and do more and more and more. And they have the mentality that, you know what, we're the ones that are going to do it. So we're going to have to be ready as soon as we step on that field Friday night.
You're right. Now, they have Tipton, Matt, they have not uploaded their third week statistics yet. But I'm sure they're going to, with 21 points, they're probably going to add to the touchdown totals, of course. Through 2 weeks, Blake Wilkins at quarterback does not have a touchdown pass. Not sure what happened, if he did in week 3 or not. We'll say that he did. But we've known this. We know with that single wing that there's parts going every which way but loose. It's kind of like I used to describe the Sigourney Kyoto. I love to use it. It's kind of like the Barnum and Bailey Circus kind of an offense that you don't know which part's going to be coming from here or there. But as a defense, that makes it so tough to just pay attention to. You can't, okay, they're going to go right. We know they're going to do this out of this formation. You don't know what they're going to do.
Well, yeah, it's very non-traditional, obviously. And, you know, as a defense with somewhat traditional or modern, recently modern offenses, you know, it's really, okay, are they run or are they going to pass? They're going to run to set up the pass or vice versa. You know, there's a lot of cues that you can read off of, but with Tipton, at least, you know, as far as or as long as I can remember, yeah, they've relied on this kind of non-traditional offense where it's very run focused. And what's unique about it is that as a defense, yeah, you can't just key in on the run as you typically would with a traditional run and pass team. It's, yeah, you can key in on the run, but you don't know where it's going, who's going to get it. The guard might pull left and they still might run right. You never know what's going to happen. So it's a very different thing to try to prepare against. And I know Coach Peterson has seen it, a lot of it over his, you know, 30 plus years of coaching. So, I know that defense is going to become prepared. And with everything that we've seen, from that defense over the last 3 weeks, I'm not necessarily, I think they'll get it figured out this week during practice. What do you think about that, scout team coach Jason Miller?
Well, I tell you what, this is going to be one of, again, you just feel it. The defense, it might be the toughest test, one of the tougher tests. I tell you what, I'll say it from a run perspective. It's going to be the toughest test they've faced all year because it's just so many different variables going on. It's different than the wide open spread stuff that you're seeing from teams that the Bears have played thus far, like Williamsburg. Had a fair amount of success towards the end of the game rushing the football, but for the majority of the game, it was your normal spread sets, you know, your gun formations where, you know, it's a quick side. That quarterback was kind of a sidearm slinger. But that was what it was. And then you look back at the other games, West Branch. Look against West Liberty. Similar thing. All spread. You look against a week two opponent in, I'm losing my mind already. Who'd we play in the second week? Wapello. There was a few power eye formations, guys, but for the most part, it was a spread formation. So this is going to be a completely different look from that, and it's going to be a completely different test. So what do you think, Stephen? We're going to leave it to you to close this book up and put it under the tree.
Well, I've got some things written down here through two games. Like you said, they don't have any stats up yet for their third game. Durant has not put anything. But Tipton so far averaging about 227 yards on the ground, only 67 through the air, just under 300, so about 29 or 294 yards per game. On the flip side, defensively, they give up about 180. Again, that was through the first two games. No stats from the Durant game yet. They gave up about 79 through the air, so about 259 that they allow. They're scoring 26 points a game. They're giving up 16. They shut out North Cedar in their first game. They gave up 36 in week two. They gave up 13 last week. But when you look at it, you know, they've got a couple of guys. I believe it's Lenz and Bierman are the two that they really look to. But they've got four or five other guys that can get the ball in some form and make you pay. So, you know, when you're looking at rushing stats down their team, you know, they've got two guys that are up over 100 yards each. And then they've got like three or four more guys that are somewhere in that, you know, 30 to 75 yard range, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when you look at that over three games divvied up among six or seven people, like you said, one makes it hard to key on, okay, we're looking for 11. All game long, you can't focus on 11 because there's several others that are going to hurt you. So I think the biggest key for this, like you alluded to, Matt, is making sure that you're playing your assignments, you're not getting sucked in and over-pursuing so that when that counter comes out of that single wing, you're getting burned on the backside. And try to figure out, you know, like we've had success so far this year, make Tipton play behind the sticks. Put them into a second and 15, a third and 9. You know, give them long yardage situations because they're not as strong on the passing attack. Now, I say that and they'll figure out, you know, they'll get it put together, but that's one of the areas that they've struggled. So put them into a longer yardage situation and, you know, hopefully that will allow your defensive line to get a bit of pass rush going on and put them where they're not as comfortable just because they do like to run the ball so much. So I think that's what it's really going to boil down to is how does our defense respond. On the other side of the ball, I mean, like I said, their defense, you know, They've got some size up front. They've got some pretty good athletes at the backers and safeties and corners. They're not afraid to come up and hit you. They're going to make some tackles in the open field. So you're going to have a clean game, get hats on hats, make sure that you're blocking things, and take advantage of every opportunity that's given to us.
Frank Bierman, it's a name you got to keep your eye on. Last year, a big play against West Branch on a halfback pass going about 75 or 80 yards. He's a big target. He's also a big-time basketball athlete. 6'5", about 200 pounds. Athletic kids that are multi-sport athletes are usually going to be guys you want to keep an eye on. Well, he's one, and you can't really miss him because he's the tallest, most athletic kid perhaps they have on the team. They had a new dimension to him. As mentioned, Stephen was mentioned multiple guys carrying a football. You had Lenz and, of course, quarterback Wilkins being the second leading rusher through two games. Frank Bierman is now carrying the football from an H-back tight end position. He's also their leading receiver at 30 yards a catch through 2 weeks. But Lenz is the bell cow with carries. 5 touchdowns, guys. Again, you're going to see a lot of him, but as we've mentioned, you're going to see a lot of from Wilkins running the ball. You're going to see Bierman. And then just when you think, oh, we've got it figured out, maybe they're going to run, they're going to try to flip one over the top on you and go downtown. If you're not paying attention and asleep, you're going to get burned. And that's what that offense offers. Again, it's like a circus. You've got somebody riding a unicycle here. You're watching that. Then all of a sudden, somebody shooting out of a cannon from the other side. That's what you get with the single wing, with a crazy offense that's got multiple moving parts. And that's the Tipton Tigers. And that's West Branch's opponent for week 4. Wow. Can't believe we already got week 4.
I was just thinking that the other day. I'm like, oh, my God. I know we've talked about it, and we all know it's the fastest 9 weeks.
It is.
In the year, but, oh, man, we're already a third of the way through the season.
You bet it we are.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does. Speaking of being a third of the way through the season, we've done that picks to click each and every week. And I'm only really excited to bring this up because I'm going to let Matt to tell us who we picked last week. And I'm pretty sure I know who might have got the victory at the end.
Yeah, and I think you share that victory with someone, so we'll get there. So, I mean, Jason picked first, so we'll just get that out of the way. Trey Eagle. I took my one-timer with Gavin Hirschman.
Really not bad.
Yeah. Steven took Dakota Kalberg.
Really not bad.
Jason Peterson getting in on the action this week. He said the defensive line. Really not bad either.
Really not bad.
And Greg Norfleet from West Branch Times wrote in. He's back this week. He also said Trey Eagle.
Well, that's a share. But I think we all win. Because what happened?
Because the Bears won.
Bears win. We win. All win.
But because we're having fun with these picks, we don't mean anything by it. I don't know. I might have to... it's tough. And Jason, I think I do have to give it to you to you and Greg, but Jason Peterson with the defensive line.
It's a tough one, too. I mean, all 5. Take a pick. Take your pick. I mean, take your pick there. And I'm glad we did, because that's the picks to click. Well, I went first last week, so I'll get to go last this week, evidently. So Steven or Matt, looks like Matt gets to go first. Before we do, you know who I'm going to pick if one of you guys don't pick him. Because when you're on a streak...
Jason, it's not your turn.
No, I'm just saying. Is he a one-timer?
Is Trey Eagle a one-timer?
Is he a one-timer now?
I think we need to make him one.
That's what I'm alluding to.
Yeah.
Because I've used him the last 2 weeks.
I like to share
weeks.
The wealth because I feel like everybody's going to play great every week. So
here we go.
I'm taking the Bears. 19-18.
Matt's pick to click is West Branch to win. Steven?
No. No, I'm taking... No. I'm... Like I said earlier, I think Wyatt Goodale is really starting to kind of find his mold into this offense. Gavin Hirschman is really understanding the types of things that Wyatt Goodale can do. So I'm gonna go with him. I think he's gonna have a big game 2 weeks in a row.
Steven?
I'm gonna use one of my one timers. I'm gonna go Gavin this week. I just feel good that he's been getting more and more comfortable out there, and I think there's some opportunities for him to hopefully come up with a big game.
Okay.
Mr. Miller.
All those options, all those kids. I want to take the Bears. I really do. But I suppose I'll take Trey Eagle. I've been riding that horse. I'm gonna stick with it.
Just said it was one time.
Oh, he is a one timer now. From now on, he's a one timer.
Nope.
Because I've actually taken him twice, so he's still involved in the one timer. So
somebody else.
Technicality. I'll take him later on in the season. I am gonna take.
It's a Jason Miller rule. It doesn't. It doesn't apply this week.
Yeah, always a rule against me whenever I do the rules to my advantage. I will take Cameron Hauser. Cam Wowser. Because for the West Branch defense to be successful against this, the linebackers are going to have to be successful. And he's one of them. So there you go.
Good answer.
So to wrap this episode up, we'd like to let you know how you can keep in touch with us with the Talking Bear Football Podcast, with anything that is West Branch Bears on westbranchfootball.com, of course. But how can they specifically keep in touch, keep up with the podcast?
Well, specifically with the podcast, you can subscribe. That's the easiest way to listen to us. And wherever you get your podcasts, we are probably there. Just search for Talking Bear Football.
Wherever the Bears go, we'll be there.
Exactly. That's right. But yeah, that can specifically be, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, whatever podcast player you choose, wherever you get your podcasts, I bet we'll be on there. But if we are not, you let me know. And you can let us know on Twitter at WB Bears Football, Instagram, WB Bears Football.
Hold on, Matt. How about Steven? Do you think he can get it right for Facebook?
At West Branch Football. Just look it up. Search it.
He's good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
He's really good.
Chances are, and that's all you have to search for. Also, the Mixlr, M-I-X-L-R app. That's where you can hear the Bearcast, but you can listen to that on westbranchfootball.com or on Mixlr.com, or just search the App Store on whatever smart device you have. Search for Mixlr, M-I-X-L-R, and then just search for West Branch Football on there, and I bet you'll find us. And whenever we light up the airwaves or the internet waves at that point, Friday nights usually at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, just half hour before the game starts, that's where you can find us. We have a wonderful pregame show that we start half an hour before every game. But if you don't want to listen to that, of course, just tune in at game time. And Stephen Grace, Mike Quinlan, and Jerry Flagel will have the call. We kind of sprinkle in some ad reads throughout the show here, but it definitely wouldn't be possible without all of our sponsors this year. And I did want to take a moment to thank those specifically here. Liberty Communications, Main Street Suites, Hog Construction, Corridor Drywall, EMS Detergent Services, Full Wider Insurance, Urban Acres, specifically Marcy Willier there, and Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants. So thank you to all those people. They bring you the Bearcast and the podcast and westbranchfootball.com every season. They keep it free to fans and listeners. So big thank you to all of them, and definitely support their businesses.
Yeah, that's my big pitch all the time. Being a small business owner myself, it's hard for me with some of the advertising to know, am I getting people to hear this? So even if you just stop in and say, you know what? We love it. We're very thankful that you're able to sponsor the Bearcast, make it possible for them to go on the road and bring us all of that action. That's phenomenal. If you can support them in any way, whether it's come in and buy an ice cream cone, talk to them about buying or selling a house. It's a little bit different dollar figures between those two, but whatever. But in all seriousness, figure out a way that you can let them know at the very minimum and find a way to support them as well for what they're doing to make it possible for us to bring the Bearcast to you.
Not much else needs to be said, fellas. We've talked about Waynesburg. We wish them the best of luck the rest of the year. They're going to be a fun football team to keep their eye on, and I think they're going to bring Bears as we get close to that RPI thing as the season goes on. I think Williamsburg is going to be a big help for West Branch, as are Wapello and West Liberty. And also, we want to, if you're listening from Tipton, we certainly look forward to a great football game, and we can't wait to have these two teams play one another and to help decide the Cedar County Trophy. Thank you enough for listening along to the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on westbranchfootball.com.
Until we meet again.
Take care, everyone.
Got him again.